Thank you, Randy and James. I appreciate that. Would you guys stand up with me this morning? Before I get into the message, I want to make sure that that everybody is awake and ready to go this morning. Are you ready? You're awake? You ready to go this morning? Receive God's word. One of you are awake and ready to go this morning. All right. Awesome. Listen, we're gonna stand up and read God's word together. I want to read it, and you guys just follow along. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. If you're just joining us for the first time this morning, we are in a series called Revival, all right? When you think of revival, there's all kinds of different things that you think of. When you're talking about revival, there is big time emotionalism, which comes with revival, and that's okay. It's okay to be emotional in church, right? It's okay to clap your hands and get excited. I've seen folks jump up and down with enthusiasm because they're worshiping God. I've seen people fall out under the power of God. I've seen them clap and raise their hands and get emotional. It's okay to have emotion in church, right? Poke your neighbor and say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be emotional, right? And so in this whole series, we've been talking about a different style, a different thought about revival. We've talked about a revival of the holiness of God, looking at the vastness and the wonder and the majesty of who God is. How many of you guys know God is holy? God is righteous. He is just. Everything that happens in this world and the universe and beyond our comprehension, He made and formed with a purpose. We understand that. Also, we talked about the revival of the love of the Word of God. How that the love of God, of the Word of God, should be the heart, at the heart of each and every believer. To love, to study the Word of God, not just so that we can memorize Scripture, but so that the Word and I will become one, like husband and wife. Amen? Because oftentimes when we go through trouble, we don't run to the Word. A lot of times we run away from it. And so it's important to hide God's Word and to have a revival of the love of the Word of God in our lives. We talked about a revival of purpose last Sunday. What are we put here for? What is our purpose? And this week, this Sunday, we're talking about a revival of failure, right? That's a weird subject. Why do we want to talk about failure? When we come to church, we want to be happy, right? We want to be encouraged. And I promise you, by the time you leave today, you will leave encouraged, because failure is a part of life. Amen? Failure is a part of life. It's a part of who we are, what we do. If you've tried anything, then you've failed, right? If you've tried it once, you have probably failed. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And today we're going to be focusing in on Moses and his life. And so look with me at Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. It says, one day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you beating your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking about killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." Then Pharaoh heard of this. He tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down at a well. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it guides us, it leads us, it checks our lives, it brings healing. And Father, today I pray that it would bring instruction to us and revelation to our heart and to our souls. And I pray, Father, as we study what the Word of God teaches us about failure, Lord, would you help us to examine our own hearts and our own ways? And Father, I pray that you would allow us to see the failures in our life and the failures to come as tools rather than stumbling blocks. And so, Father, I give over to you our efforts. I give over to you this sermon. And Father, I ask that your anointing would rest upon each and every one of us to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. So here we see a glimpse into Moses' life, all right? So let's get a little background. First of all, Moses, how many of you guys know the story of Moses, right? Pharaoh was, he was seeing that the Hebrews were growing in number in his kingdom to the point where he felt threatened. And anytime a tyrant feels threatened, he turns to murder, right? He turns to oppression. And so this is what he did. He told the Hebrew midwives this. He said, while the women are giving birth, if you see that the baby is a boy, I want you to kill that baby. Kill that baby. And so what happened was, all the midwives couldn't do it. And so Pharaoh heard of this, and the Hebrews continued to grow in number. And what happened was, Pharaoh called the midwives back in and said, why have you done this? And they made up a story and said, they gave birth before we could get there. And so what happened was, Pharaoh said, I want you to cast all the male children into the Nile. And so Moses' mother and father built this little basket and put Moses in there, put tar around it, put him in the Nile, and hid him in the reeds. And while the baby was hid in the reeds, this is what happened. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket in the reeds and heard the baby crying. And she summoned her servant to go retrieve the basket from the Nile, and there was the baby. And it's interesting to note that Moses' mother and father did not name him Moses. Pharaoh's daughter did. Named him Moses because he was plucked from the water. And so what happened was, Moses was raised in privilege. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. Everything Pharaoh gave Moses, Moses took to the extreme. He was very successful in everything that he did. He went to the finest schools. Everything, every luxury, every comfort, every advantage that could be given, Moses had it. And one day, Scripture says, one day after Moses had grown up, actually Moses was about 40 years old when this blip into Moses' life happened. Moses went out and he saw his own people being oppressed, saw one of the Egyptians beating one of his countrymen. Don't know if he had seen this before, if this was the first time he had ever seen it. I am saying that he has seen it before. But this moment in time, in particular, caught Moses' attention. And he saw that his own countryman was being beaten by this Egyptian. And he went over, made sure that nobody was looking, and he killed this Egyptian. Drug his body into an obscure place, threw some sand on him, and left. The very next day, he saw two of his own countrymen, two Hebrews fighting. And he said, why are you guys fighting each other? You're brothers. And then they said, are you going to kill us too like you did this other guy just yesterday? Are you going to do that to us too? And all of a sudden, Moses was gripped with fear. So much so that he wondered, had what he did gotten out? And if it did it get back to Pharaoh? Come to find out, it did. And Pharaoh heard about it and was trying to kill Moses. And Scripture says Moses fled for his life. Moses fled into the desert, on the backside of the desert, where privilege was not found, where the best was not found, where provision was not found, where privilege had no place. And he said, the Scripture says, he parked himself and sat down at a well. How many of you guys have ever been discouraged and you ran to the backside of nowhere and parked yourself by a well and had a pity party? Really? Come on now, we're in church, all right? We've all made those wells. Some of us have worn paths to that particular well, right? We know that well because we're familiar with that well. There's a song that we sang this morning. It's the second song. Could you look up those lyrics for me back there? 1,000 times I've failed. Here it is. It says, 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace everlasting. You know, I don't know about you, but I've probably failed more than 1,000 times. But this worship song is so fitting for us as believers because we admit that we have failed. We admit that we have fallen short. We admit that our best laid plans didn't work out. Something that we were so sure of, something we felt comfortable doing, yet it did not work out. And here we sing these songs like this one. It says, 1,000 times I failed, still your mercy remains. See, the problem is sometimes we forget that His mercy still remains with us, even when we fail. A lot of us feel that we still have to earn God's love. That if we fail, God is not happy with us. That if we fall short, God turns His back on us until we do something marvelous again, and then God smiles our way. We don't mean to believe those things, but our walk with Christ bears witness to that fact. But really, the thing is, just like Moses, the fear of failure is common. It's a common fear. All of us have a fear of failing. People fail at parenting. They feel like they're failing in their career. They feel like they're failing as a Christian. Feel like they're failing in their marriage. And feel free to insert your own blend of fear of failing in there, in the list. The list goes on and on and on and on. I find it interesting that so many people try to shield themselves from failure by simply not taking risk or not making decisions that could possibly make them experience the sting of failure. Nobody wants to put themselves in a place where they feel pain, all right? In our country, we are a comfort-driven, pleasure-driven society, right? When we moved here, one of the things that I told the realtor was, don't show me a house that does not have central heating and air, all right? I got to have it in the house. We do that because that's what we know. That's what we are comfortable with. And so we don't ever put ourselves in situations where we're uncomfortable, where it's going to be taxing, where it's going to be stressful. We don't want to do those things. We avoid those things like the plague. And oftentimes in a believer's life, that puts us in a place where we can't experience God's best for our life. Sometimes the very best thing for our lives at times is learning the sting of failure. Learning what it feels like to not get where you want to go, not be where you want to be. And sometimes we're not failing at all. Sometimes it's just a mental thing. Sometimes the greatest battlefield that we can ever be on as believers or just humanity all by itself is in our minds. Because the enemy will come in and try to feed us a lie, try to feed us something that isn't true. We know that at the beginning, but we nurse it, and it becomes reality. It becomes truth, even though we know that it's a lie. I want to read to you some stats. There was a famous athlete. This is what he said. He said, I've missed 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. Totally missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I have succeeded. Do you know who said that? Michael Jordan. That's right. Michael Jordan said those words. Over and over again. Can you imagine 26 times your team gave you the ball and said, win the game? 26 times you go out and you shoot and miss. That does something to you. But a champion knows that part of succeeding, part of winning, is failing, is losing. Because it teaches us the value and the importance of falling short. And it makes the victory even sweeter. Amen? We can no more escape failure in our own lives any more than we can escape death. Once we learn that, then we have a shot at being truly successful. Learning that there is no way that we can escape failure. Now, we can try to not make major decisions. We can try not to, or we can avoid listening to God and Him telling us what He wants out of our lives and just playing it safe and all those different things. We can try to not fail, but at the end of the day, we all are going to fail. So in order to have a revival of failure, we need to learn a few things this morning. Number one, we need to remember that everyone fails. Not just some people, everyone. Even people like Michael Jordan, even the most successful success story that you know of, even the family that you feel like has it all put together, they never have a bad hair day, right? They never argue, they never fight. They always on time. Everything that they do, they always seem to do it well, and it's just the way it is. Even those people fail too. They just are better at hiding the fact that they fail. But we need to understand that everyone fails. Now, we forget that when we fail. So let me prove it to you this way. A recent study that I saw showed that, and it should be up on the board, it shows that the failure rate of human beings is 100%. Check that out. 100%. What does that mean? It means that you are not singled out as somebody that is put into this small category that you perfectly fit in called failure. Because all of us fail in our life. 100% of us fail. What does that tell us? It tells us that no one is perfect. No one has it all together. And if you're failing, trust me, you are in good company. You're in good company. Now, James 3:2 says this, we all stumble in many ways. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. And by the way, the Bible's not reluctant to tell us about the failures of its heroes either. I love how the Bible lays out the beauty of failure. I love how the Bible does not try to make it so ambiguous that we miss the glaring fact that even the lover of God's heart fails. We look at Moses and how he failed. We look at David. What did David do? David conspired and had his own friend killed because he had an affair with his wife. That's pretty substantial. We see that Peter, when he told Jesus that, or Jesus said, Peter, listen, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, listen, I will never deny you. I will stay with you. I will die with you if I have to. And what did Peter do? He denied the Lord three times. Denied him three times. Over and over and over again. We see one of the great champions in the Old Testament was Samson. We see Samson was this brute of a man, right? He was a humongous individual. He had the strength of 10,000 men. We've seen that he killed thousands of his enemies, and yet God gave him a few basic rules, and he couldn't follow them. He said, listen, one of the rules is you can't drink wine. What do we see Samson doing? Drinking all the time. See, we see Scripture says to Samson, don't touch any dead thing. Samson's walking along one day, sees a lion, there's honey. Bees had made a hive right there inside the carcass of the lion. What does Samson do? He goes over to the lion, takes out the honey, and has a feast right there. He couldn't stay away from one of the women as well in the enemy's camp, and so he constantly laid his head down in the lap of the enemy, constantly. And what happened? The enemy came in, his enemies came in, plucked out his eyes, he lost all of his strength, and he milled around a blind and as a servant for years. If you're failing, you're in good company. I love how Scripture doesn't hide the fact that its heroes are not perfect. That gives me hope. That gives me hope that when I do fail, when I do fall short, I can look at Scripture and look at those people who the Bible says are righteous and holy and just and see their failures and take hope in the fact that even they were redeemed. Because in our society, if you conspire to kill somebody and you have them killed, guess where you're going? Going to jail for the rest of your life. I don't know that you would call that person holy or record them as being holy at the end of their life, but Scripture counts King David as a righteous man because he was a lover after God's own heart. And because he repented. You see, whenever we fall short, maybe it's because of our own hand, maybe it's because of it's at the hand of somebody else. But when we come before the Lord in a humble place, when we come before the Lord in repentance, Scripture says that a humble heart, a contrite spirit, he will not deny. Know that in your failure, if there's a lot of pride in there saying that it's somebody else's fault or somebody else didn't let me do this or it's somebody else's fault I didn't get where I'm supposed to be, God can't speak to you in those terms and in those ways. We have got to come before Him with a humble and contrite spirit. So number one, we need to remember that everybody fails. Babe Ruth was one of baseball's all-time home run kings, but did you know that he was also the all-time strikeout champion as well? He struck out almost twice as many times as he hit home runs. That's a lot. That's a lot. And a reporter asked him one day, he said, "What's the secret of your success?" And he replied, "I just keep on swinging at him. I just keep on swinging at him." Got to remember that everybody fails, right? So number two, the second thing we need to realize is that failure is not final. Denise Watney said this, "Failure should be our teacher, not our undertaker." Moses was once a prince. Now after running away, he becomes a shepherd. And not a shepherd of his own flock, shepherd of his father-in-law's flock. He owned nothing. Okay? So we see that as we pick the story up of 40 years when Moses is tending the flock for his father-in-law's sheep in Exodus chapter 3. God reveals himself to Moses through a burning bush and commissioned him to lead the people of Israel out of 400 years of bondage. And Moses is going, "No way, are you out of your mind? Remember 40 years ago, I confronted one of my brothers. They were fighting, you know, the two guys were fighting, and they looked at me and go, 'Who are you that you should say anything toward us? You're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian?' Remember that, God, 40 years ago? They're not going to listen to me. I've been gone for 40 years. I was famous once, and now I'm forgotten. There's nothing, there's nobody that's going to listen to me. I can't even speak right." And every time Moses presented why he couldn't do something, God always answered back with his provision. He said, "I can't speak right." And God said, "That's no problem. Aaron's going to speak for you." And he said, "How? I don't have any influence. I don't have any power. How are they going to listen to me? How am I going to have any authority?" And God said, when you go, tell them, I am sent you. And Moses said, what kind of power do I possess that people would follow me? And the Lord presented him with a staff, and he said, throw this staff on the ground. And God began to perform many miracles right before Moses. So every time Moses said, I can't, I don't know how, I was a failure 40 years ago, I'm still failing right now. God, why did you talk to me through this burning bush? You wasted a pretty awesome deal on me. Nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to know who I am. They're not going to remember who I was and how I was brought up. And if they do, they'll resent me that I was raised in Pharaoh's house. And so every time God asks us to do something great, something that is beyond what we can do in our own capabilities, God will always come back with his provision. Always. Because failure does not have to be final. We see that through Samson. We see that through David. We see that through Peter. Now we're seeing that through Moses. God saying, listen, I know what happened 40 years ago. You're 80 years old now. 80 years old. How many of you guys would like to lead millions of people at 80 years old? Nope, not me. Don't want to do that. Okay? Have no desire to do that. But here, God is speaking into Moses' purpose and direction for his life. Once he was on the backside of the desert, now God is putting him in the forefront of his blessing and purpose. Never give up on what God has spoken to you. If he has spoken specifically to you to do a certain thing, no matter what I say or anybody else says in your family, your friends, or your church family, you can take what God said to you to the bank. Never give up hope. Always trust and believe when God spoke to you that he was going to do something in your life, you can take it to the bank. He's going to do it. And along the way, when you're trying to do it and you fail, don't give up. Continue to swing away. Continue to step up to the plate. Continue to say, give me the ball when the game is on the line. And trust me, you're going to fail along the way, but it's in the failing that we learn to succeed, that we learn the sting of failure, But reassure, success is much sweeter when we learn how to fail. Amen? Realizing that failure is not final. Now, failure can mean setback. But it's in how we handle that moment that determines whether we have truly failed or whether we've truly succeeded. Thomas Edison said this, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. That's harsh, but that's the reality. For so many of us, we get to a point where we hear God's voice, we're excited about the direction that we're going, but setback after setback after setback happens. Or the reason why there's setbacks is because we have it in our heads the way we believe God's going to move, and when he doesn't move that direction, then we're disappointed. We feel like we failed. We feel like we've disappointed God. We feel like it's never going to happen. But trust me, you're in good company. You're in good company. It doesn't have to be final. Number three, the third thing we need to realize is that we need to realize the benefits of failure. The benefits of failure. Moses may have never been Israel's deliverer if he had never failed. Romans 8:28 says this, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things include failure, right? Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, everybody say all things. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And that includes failing. That doesn't mean that our failures are good, but God can take our failures and bring something good out of them. But we've got to give him a chance. We got to give him in our moment of Moses on the backside of the desert when he plopped himself there at the well and was wondering what is going to be of his life. One moment he is living in privilege. He doesn't have a care in this world. Everything is good. Everything that he ever needed is right there at his fingertips. And now he makes one mistake. He makes one decision and he finds himself running for his life on the backside of the desert at some obscure well, sitting there wondering what's going to happen to his life. What's going to happen to his life? Moses thought that his life was done, that it was over. And sometimes we feel like that, well, I need to just quit trying. I don't want to do this anymore. It hurts too much. How in the world am I going to raise money to go in the missions field? How in the world can I move states away to pastor a church? How am I going to switch this job when I know that God is asking me to do that? How am I going to do that? I don't know what the logistics are. What if I fail? What if I don't succeed? What if? And our what ifs turn into a decade of what ifs. Stuck right where we are at that well 40 years later. Scared to make a decision, scared to fail, and don't realize that, first of all, everybody fails. Second of all, failure is not final. Thirdly, that we can learn from our failures. We can benefit from our failures. Another benefit of failure is it educates us. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, said, I didn't fail 10,000 times to make a light bulb. Rather, I learned 10,000 ways how to not make a light bulb. That's impressive thinking. We need to understand that even when we're failing, we're learning. Because failure doesn't have to be our undertaker. It can be our educator as well. Realize that the benefits far outweigh the negatives. We experience success because failure taught us how to get there. Another benefit of failure is this: it makes us less judgmental. Right? Makes us less judgmental. We understand how it feels to fail. We understand what it feels like to fear. We understand what it feels like to go out and get something and then not bring it back. We understand that. And so it makes us less judgmental when we see our brother or our sister in the midst of failing. Instead of looking at them going, I can't believe they did that boneheaded thing. What's wrong with them? How in the world can they ever think they can even make it in life by doing such a dumb thing? Instead, it makes us empathetic that we understand how they feel because we have felt the sting of failure before. We can go to them and we can be an encouragement to them. Instead of going, are you out of your mind? Why did you do that? I saw that coming. You know, 10 miles down the road, I saw that coming. Instead, we go along beside them and we encourage them, lift them up and say, listen, I've been where you have been. I have felt the sting of failure before, but let me tell you my story. Nobody can tell your story like you can. Nobody can tell it with heart and with the passion that you can. Make your story available for those that are failing. Not to thumb it in their face, but to help bring them up out of the pit that they're in. Lastly, we need to replace fear with faith in the Lord. Moses wasn't happy that God had asked him to lead Israel out of bondage. His first response was, there has got to be somebody better suited to do this. Or he said, I can't speak well either. All of these comments are empty of faith. They're void of faith. But each time Moses gave an excuse, God gave his solution. How many of you guys know what an Impala is? I'm not talking about a car. Everybody, it's it's like a deer, right? It's from Africa. These things are pretty awesome. I YouTubed these things this week, just studying for this sermon. And I found out some interesting facts about these African deer. Did you know that they can leap? Their vertical is 10 feet. 10 feet. They can leap at once 30 feet. That's a lot. But yet, when you go into a zoo and see them, their enclosures, the walls are only 3 feet high. And the reason behind this is that they will not jump over something if they can't see the other side of it. And so they've learned this in zoos, and so that's how they keep them enclosed, is with walls of that are 3 feet only, because they can't see the other side. A lot of us are like that. Our feet are not going to go where we can't see the other side. And that seems like logical thinking, but there's a flaw in it. Scripture tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Scripture tells us that we have got to depend upon the Lord, and that the only way we can please God is when we come to Him by faith. We can, at the end of our lives, hand something that we have created and fashioned with our own resources, with our own understanding. We can't present to God that which we have created ourselves. Our life has got to be manifested and move forward by faith. But so many of us, we walk in fear because we live in the land of what if. We live in the land of, well, what if this happens when I do this? Or what if this happens when I make this decision? Or what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? A lot of times we worry about things that will never, ever happen. But we worry about them. We worry about them because that's what we do. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we live by faith and not by sight. Maybe you can identify with Moses this morning. Maybe you have experienced failure in your past, and maybe you are afraid of failure in your future. Remember, Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. In other words, I can face failure through Christ who gives me strength. Even if it takes longer than we thought it was going to, even if the road is more bumpy than we thought it was going to be, even though it may be more painful than we ever thought it would be, if God told you to do it, then step out in faith and do it, knowing that the pain that you're enduring, the shortcomings that you're experiencing, are all to benefit you at the end of the day. A woman can go through the pains of childbirth because there's a promise at the end. The promise is a child. And if you know that the suffering that you're facing, the pain that you're experiencing, is for a purpose and a reason, you will endure it, and you'll do it with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, because you know that at the end of the pain, there's the promise. There's the provision. There's the hope. There is God's best for your life. And sometimes there are lessons that we cannot learn except through the other side of failure. And some of us choose to relearn these over and over and over again simply because we choose not to learn. Choose not to allow our failures to be a teacher. Instead, we've allowed it to be our undertaker, the decider of our fate. They choose who we are to be. I don't know about you, but I want to embrace failure. I don't want to welcome it in my life. I don't go out looking for it. Man, I can't wait to fail today. It's like, I mean, I guess Monday should be our fail day, right? Monday fail day. But here's the thing. We don't go looking for it. But when it comes knocking on our door and we have no other choice but to open it, it picked the wrong house because we're going to use it as our servant. Amen? Would you stand up with me this morning? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. All things, man. It's a powerful statement. I can do all things. I don't know about you, but I've quoted that many times when I failed before. Many times when I'm hurting. Many times when I feel like I can't do any of it. I go to this scripture because I know that it's a promise that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That's what the Word says. My circumstances tell me different, but we understand where our hope lies. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that even in the midst of failure, even in the midst of wanting to give up, second-guessing what You've spoken over our lives, second-guessing Your call, second-guessing Your provision, second-guessing Your healing, second-guessing Your forgiveness and Your grace over our lives because of things that we have done to ourselves. We second-guess. That's what we do. But I thank You, Lord, that Your Word, despite how we feel, despite what our circumstances tell us, Your Word never changes. It doesn't get down in the dumps with us. It doesn't doubt with us. It doesn't complain with us. It doesn't get into hopelessness with us. It simply speaks the truth over us. Never changes to fit our circumstances. Your Word never changes. Even You, Lord, told Your disciples that trouble will come, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And Father, I thank You that You were real with us. You didn't hide the shortcomings of the heroes of Scripture. You laid them open and laid them bare. We didn't go on to talk about Elijah and Elisha. We didn't go on and talk about all the other countless other men and women of God who failed yet was able to rise above because they chose not to give up. They chose to believe. They chose to press in. And so, Father, I pray this morning that You would bring revelation to our heart and our spirit today that You are with us, that failure is not final. Remind us that everybody fails. Help us to see the benefit in failure. And Lord, help us to live this life through faith in the Son of God. Help us, Lord, not to give up just before the summit, just before the peak. Help us, Father, not to fall asleep at the helm when land is approaching. Help us, Father, not to give up on our finances, to give up on our job. Help us, Father, to stay focused, to stay vigilant. Help us, Lord, to live this life not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit, so that we can truly know and believe that we can do all things through You, Lord Jesus, that gives us strength. And so, Father, we choose today to lay all of our failures down. Man, that's hard. We nurse those things. We call them by name. We're very familiar with them. But help us, Lord, to, at the end of the day, to lay those things down so that they become blessings rather than cursing. So that we can examine what went wrong instead of running the backside of the desert, sitting at a well, wondering what went wrong. Father, may it not take 40 years for us to understand. Help us to be quick learners, to admit when we've failed, to admit that it was by our own hand, actually, that we failed. And Lord, pick us back up. Dust the our pants off so that we can get back up and swing away. And so, Father, we come before you this morning. And even though that we may be feeling the sting of failure, we can truly say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Can I have the worship team come back up this morning? That song just stuck out with me. We're going to sing it again as we leave this morning. 1,000 times I failed, still your mercy remains. That should be the song of our hearts, each and every one of us this morning. 1,000 times I failed, still your mercy remains. And so this morning we're going to sing that song as they get ready and prepare to worship. Let's pray one more time before we get started. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we do not wrestle in our own strength and our own understanding. But Lord, we wrestle and we move and we live and have our being all in your strength and timing. And so today, this morning, we choose to worship our way out of the sanctuary. God, may you be glorified. May you be honored in all that we do, even in our failures, Lord. May you be glorified and honored as you teach us, Lord, how to fail in order to please your heart. And so, Father, cast out all fear, all anxiety of failure, and give us a tenacious spirit to live this life by faith in the Son of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. As they're singing this morning, if you need prayer about anything, I'm going to be down here personally. And if you need prayer, I want you to come. I want to pray over you this morning. Amen. Pastor Johnny, would you come as well? So, worship team, you guys go ahead and sing that song. And if you need prayer, come up. At the end of that, we're going to dismiss and let you go about your Sunday, all right? Lord, through it all, my eyes are on you. I choose today, despite how I feel, or the sting of failure, or the sting of fear, or regret, or remorse, I choose to have my eyes on you. At the end of the day, Lord, I say it is well with my soul. So, Father, we choose today to look at our failures and our shortcomings in a different way. Not that they are lording over us, but that we use it as a schoolmaster. That we understand that it's not just me that fails. We all fail. But we understand in Scripture and Proverbs it says a righteous man may fall, but he gets up 7 times. Father, help us to realize that we are in good company. Help us to realize that the struggle really is real. Help us, Lord, to find the benefits in the struggle and to live this life by faith in the Son of God. So, Father, today I deliberately choose to allow you to lead my life. And Father, when fear seems to overcome me, Lord, may your spirit rise above and cause me to move forward and to never allow a 3-foot wall to hem me in. that this life we live by faith, and that in the Son of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Help me say it, church. Amen. 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 Listen, I know it's a beautiful day outside, and I dismiss you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. If you're a first-time visitor, please go to our information table back there. We got a free gift for you. Don't forget those that are going to the to Milwaukee this coming weekend. We're going to be meeting in the back in this room right here just for a brief meeting, all right? God bless you guys. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you next week.